This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The Sungai Buloh Action Group was formed in 2015 under the Local Agenda 21 of DBKL, with the aim to improve the river quality of Sungai Buloh and to create more riverine green spaces for the public in the city. I find out more about the efforts that went into the rehabilitation and conservation of this 9-kilometer-long river and discuss how better river governance and management can make Sungai Buloh into a public green and recreational space from Yasmin Rashid. She's the chairperson of the Sungai Buloh Action Group, and she's also the president of EcoNights. Welcome, Yasmin. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Juliet, for having me again.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. So, before we get into Sungai Buloh, tell me, how are things going at EcoNights?
Things are going very well. Team is growing a little bit.
Mm-hmm, wonderful.
And I'm taking a little bit of a back seat right now, looking at the young people taking charge.
Okay. And I know you have a very strong internship program. You know, you've got a lot of young people joining you all the time.
Yeah, they're all really... I think I'm the oldest, probably the big dinosaur in the office. They're all under 28.
Wow.
Well, below 30, like most of them.
And I mean, what are some of the projects that, you know, you are currently working on?
We have several river projects, and I think these projects will probably be a long-term project for us. Mm-hmm. I think the work on rivers is quite extensive, especially from the public sphere. We're also working on a lot of youth development in the sustainability area. My goal is to look at how we can generate more young leaders with a more sustainable mindset. So we do a lot of camps. We do a lot of design thinking programs to address solutions for the environment.
Wonderful. I mean, I've always said this, get them young, you know.
Yes, you have to.
That's going to be the change makers right there. And just speaking of rivers, you know, I think safe to say many of our rivers are heavily polluted here in, just in the Klang Valley, for example, right? So tell me a little bit about the Sungai Buloh Action Group. You know, why was that started?
Well, Sungai Buloh is, I guess, one of the most severely polluted rivers in the city center. Mm-hmm. And when the River of Life project came about, it's a great effort. You know, there was a lot of funds poured into re-engineering or re-landscaping the rivers. While that was being done, I think one major component which was not intentionally left behind, but it was left behind, was the role of public in river governance and management. To be honest, the government has spent millions, if not amounting to hundreds of millions, on cleaning up rivers, on clearing out trash.
I think billions, actually, possibly.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And the River of Life is a $1 billion project to look at revitalizing the river, to enhance, you know, value of land and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, I think what you see is happening to the river is a clear indication of the impacts of man-made activities. Mm-hmm. You've got development that's happening too close to the river areas. You've got, you know, irresponsible disposal of waste in it. And when Sungai Buloh was engineered, and if you know now, there's less floods happening in Kampung Baru. Actually, the main reason why Kampung Baru flooded so much in the early 2000s was mainly because of Sungai Buloh.
Okay.
It was a massive overflow of swollen river and damaging Kampung Baru. So while that has been mitigated, there hasn't been any more floods coming from Sungai Buloh. Now, the next question is, how do you look at sustaining the functions of the river, the ecosystem, with a non-structural, non-engineering approach?
Okay.
And we were formed in 2005. What happened is basically DBKL took the lead with Local Agenda 21 to find interested stakeholders who like to work together for improvement of Sungai Buloh.
Okay.
We got on board. We signed a MOU to be a what they call a rakan kongsi, a partner to the local authority. And over the first 2 years was a bit about, you know, introducing ourselves to the issue, getting to know the issue. And then while under the guidance of DBKL, we grew our wings and we started to be very independent. We started to be very vocal and very cooperative among ourselves to like work together to look at how do we solve this issue of just Sungai Buloh.
Mm-hmm.
So to cut the story short, I think we are now a coalition of multiple stakeholders in KL City. And our mission and vision is very clear, to look at returning back bunus to as near natural as possible.
Okay.
And if possible, to redesign some of the areas to provide green recreational spaces for people in KL.
Mm-hmm.
And third is to look at connectivity from the upper reaches to the lower reaches of the river, which is 9 kilometers. And so if you multiply two, because there's two sides of the riverbank, that's 18 kilometers to be a continuous cycling path, for instance, or your connectivity path, so that people from Wang Samaju or Stapak can cycle easily to KLCC through the Sungai Bunus riverbanks.
Wow, I live around there. That would be wonderful.
I know, right?
But I mean... Describe how the river was when you started this project. Sorry, was it 2015 or 2005?
2015.
2015, okay. And could you describe how polluted it was or, you know, what sort of situation?
It's between, according to the water quality index, we have 5 levels, one being super clean, 5 being severely polluted. Bunus hovers around WQI 4 and 5, which means no body contact is allowed, and if you accidentally fall into it, you need to rush yourself to the hospital because there are a lot of biological and chemical contamination in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of this contamination comes a lot from organic waste disposal that's happening along the riverbanks of KL. So you're talking about restaurants or illegal stalls that are just conveniently throwing their curries or their tom yum soup into there because of lack of either lack of enforcement governance or lack of proper stall management facilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So essentially man-made issues. It's
very much man-made land-based issues.
Land-based issues. So also, you know, just the public, I suppose, you know, they're littering, with they're throwing off their, I don't know, cigarette butts and straws and
straws,
diapers.
Mineral water bottles. Mm-hmm. Because even if you throw it on land and you think you're not impacting the river, when there's a heavy downpour, most of these things end up flowing naturally to the river and then eventually ending up in the sea.
Yeah. As we've seen. I mean, even the River of Life project, you know, which got so much to do. And I mean, as beautiful as it is, you know, when the lights aren't on, you can still see the river.
You can still smell it.
You can still smell it. And you can still see the, I mean, when I took my family to go and visit, I mean, the first thing I saw were plastic bottles, you know, floating there, you know.
Yeah, I remember the launch itself as well. There were a lot of floating plastics and I was like, oh dear. You know, we're launching something that's still polluted.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, what I'm trying to get at is, it's suffice to say, reducing the pollution is obviously so much less costly compared to actually cleaning up the rivers,
yes.
You know. So
it
starts with us, but never mind. So anyway, you guys...
Work in progress.
Work in progress. So when you were approaching, you know, a huge river rehabilitation project like this, you know, what was the first thing that you needed to know? And I guess what was the first step that you took to kind of tackle it?
Well, one was the most critical step, and I still think it's important for whatever project that you get into, is stakeholder engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bunus is so diverse, with communities from the PPR, from the B40, right up to, you know, owner of a swanky 5-star luxury hotel and so on and so forth. So the needs of all these stakeholders are different.
Mm-hmm.
The concerns and challenges they face are different as well. So versus dealing with how do you empower PPR, B40 communities versus empowering a corporate, it's totally different approaches as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be honest, when I was elected as the chairperson, I was a bit lost, simply because looking at the stakeholders, and I was just like cracking my head, it's really hard to come up with something that would make everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, there will be some that will be more involved than the others,
sure.
Depending on the program or time of the year. But we endeavor and we stuck through to designing, getting our act together to look at how do we work as a group and how do we work actually effectively with the local authority to raise these issues up. So we're kind of like an in-betweener from the grassroots, bringing these issues from a bottom-up approach to the local authorities. And then with the local authorities, to be honest, they also have their set of challenges. And the reason sometimes things don't work out, it's because maybe slightly bureaucracy, but it's also sometimes lack of manpower, lack of resources and all that. So it allowed me as the chairperson to actually look at the intricacies within each stakeholder that they face. But one thing that is common among all of us is, we feel for Bunus.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make this work. we know the city is struggling to look at tackling issues like resiliency, low carbon city. And we hope that whatever we're doing will fit into the blueprints of all these stakeholders. At the end of the day, I just want my kid to be able, or at least I want to bring my kid to a river. I grew up playing in rivers,
yeah,
not far from my home,
mm-hmm,
catching fish and prawns. And we now do that in Taman Tun Bukit Kera. But if only we can have this kind of space for city folks, for B40 communities, a sense of belonging. So what we're doing essentially is a bit of placemaking to kind of just revitalize the river a bit. I mean, I think it's high time we look at greening major parts of the city. We've seen too much concrete already.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting how you say that. You know, you grew up, you know, catching fish in the river. My husband says the same thing in Taman Melawati. I pass by what looks like a big drain, and he says, you know, that used to be a beautiful flowing river, mm-hmm, where families used to come and actually hang out. But now it's just dirty.
In fact, Melawati has a very strong group called Eco Melawati that looks at protecting rivers as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, all of them are actually seeing how everything, because there's so much of construction going on in Melawati, for example, you know, and all these natural resources are just being lost. And it was such a place for the community to come together, you know, and such, like for my husband, for example, you know, such happy childhood memories are tied there. But now, big dream.
It's hard. I was at a conference once and my audience were youth and my topic was about rivers. And I asked them a question, like, when was the last time you visited or dipped into a river, and none of them raised their hands. And I said, why? And the response was, rivers are dirty and disgusting.
Mm.
So it's quite ironic that a river that brings life, that harbors life for so many species and gives us water, is now looked at as a piece of disgusting waterway.
And I mean, I just came back from a trip to the UK, and so many beautiful rivers there, you know, children jumping, you know, Peppa Pig and the puddles, and you know, everyone is enjoying that space, you know, no one's littering, it's beautiful, clear, lovely, you can see fishes swimming, you know, so I guess we need to change.
Buck up.
To put it mildly. I'm speaking today to Yasmin Rashid. She's a chairperson of the Sungai Buenos Action Group. She's also the president of Eco Nights. And it's World Rivers Day on the 29th of September. And we're talking actually about a project that Yasmin is involved in, which is called the Rehabilitation of Sungai Buenos. We'll find out more after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is the lovely Yasmin Rashid. She's the chairperson of the Sungai Buenos Action Group. She's also the president of Eco Nights, and we're discussing the rehabilitation of Sungai Buenos. So, yes, it's World Rivers Day on the 29th mm-hmm. of September, and you know, you're going to have a walk and, you know,
fun walk
on the day. We'll get to that in a little bit. But before that, you know, tell me a little bit about the activities that the action group has carried out, you know, over these last few years.
Well, one of the few things that we have done is promoting urban farming along the riverbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really directly along. It's about maybe 10 to 20 feet away from the river. And some of our stakeholders like UTM, Exim, and even a couple of school teachers, disciplined school teachers, have taken that initiative and have grown have grown their farms really well.
Wonderful.
Because you look at river reserves as often degraded area. There was a challenge as well, because a lot of the land along the riverbanks were severely compacted. There was a lot of concrete. We had to do a lot of soil conditioning to look at making the soil suitable for farming.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a farm right now around Sri Rampai area led by two disciplined teachers, and they've started a social enterprise that look at urban farming. They can produce, or they can harvest close to about 100 kilos of cucumber a day when it's during harvesting season. And we would like this to be a catalyst to encourage more community members to come up to us to look at expanding the usability of the river reserves.
Sure.
Another thing that we have done is also a lot of tree planting initiatives, because if you look at the river banks, they're quite severely degraded.
Okay.
So you need to bring back, first of all, you need to improve the soil condition. You need the right kind of plants to look at tightening the river banks so that there's minimized corrosion and so on and so forth. So for part of Sungai Buenos, we have decided as a group that all the trees planted are fruit trees.
Okay.
The reason being is we noticed that in early mornings and early evenings, there are resident birds that come over, herons, we've got eagles coming, and this is weird. bird that looks like a flamingo, but we're not sure. It's got its little long legs. And they're eating from the riverside and from some of the retention ponds. And we felt that by having fruit trees, maybe we can provide more food for more birds and encourage more birds to come and eventually look at increasing the biodiversity around you. It would be more fun for the kids as well if you can see these things, right?
Yeah.
Another thing that we are working with some of our stakeholders is, if you're aware, in KL, we're redesigning, revamping an entire sewage treatment system. Like in Taman Tun here, the outcome of the wastewater is class 2A, okay, which is really clean water. Obviously, no one would drink it, but it is clear water. And we're privileged in certain parts of Sungai Bunus with working with IWK. They have loaned us wastewater that's coming up from the Bunus treatment plant. And what happens to this is it raises the level of water quantity.
Okay.
So, you know, some rivers, the length is there, but there's just little water inside.
Yes.
So it doesn't really look like a river, right?
It's like a drain.
Yes. So we're fortunate that we're near a treatment plant which releases clean wastewater. So what it does is it raises the water level,
okay,
and it starts flooding the riverbanks. And when this happens, a natural wetland system has formed.
Wow.
So if you go to parts of Sungai Bunus, especially around Kampung Boyan area before Kampung Baru, there are no concrete riverbanks. They're all natural grass. Somehow engineers now tell me, oh, grass is stronger than concrete. I don't know why now it's new information, why it wasn't before. we are trying to promote natural wetland formation. And on top of that, the water that comes from the treatment plant allows us to reduce the pollution in the river.
Okay.
Because you're getting more influx of a dilution factor coming in.
Okay.
So these are some of the things. We also are a watchdog. We complain a lot to the local authority when we see injustice done to some of the riverbanks. So from last year, we highlighted an issue of a existing property developer that pretty much was building right up to the edges of the riverbank and have their workers' quarters sewage system dumped directly into the river.
Mm-hmm.
So we took, we're quite high tech. We took drone images. We took videos. We had committee members that went to the ground and got evidence to look at, hey, developer, you got to be on board on this river program, because at the end of the day, they're going to be, like it or not, the river is going to flow right next to them. You either make it better or just, you might as well bury it if you don't want the river, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not an option. Can't bury a river.
No, you can't. And I mean, we want it, It's a source of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a lot of people as well.
I think it's quite zen, river.
Yeah.
Right.
And could you explain to someone who doesn't understand? So let's say you come to that dirty river, there's, just rubbish everywhere. How do you even start tackling what might seem like a very monumental task?
A few things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, start from home.
Okay.
I think that's the part where people feel like they're crippled because, okay, so what's my role? If you live in a house with an extension or illegal extension backyard, very likely you're contributing to pollution in the river, especially if you're using your kitchen sink that's in your extended part of the house to throw your curry down the sink or soup. Because most drains that come from housing areas are stormwater drains.
Okay.
When it rains, that's when the water flows. But if you look at some of the stormwater drains here, it's continuous flow water. This comes from your washing machine water. This comes from your, you're washing your rice or you're cleaning up your dishes. Of course, over the years, the extensions have happened.
Yeah.
You can't go up to every house and say, I'm going to hack your wall and I'm going to redirect your piping and all that. There are some solutions out there to look at intercepting this wastewater before it goes to the rivers, but it's a costly solution. And at the end of the day, people expect the government to foot out the bill as well, and we just sit back and relax. So I think if you're going to be a home buyer, is to be cautious about how your piping system works at home. So before you renovate your back side of your house, you should probably look at how you can redo the piping so that it goes into maybe a sewage treatment pipe instead of the stormwater pipe. Number two, just practice your three R's. I mean, everything we see in Sungai Buloh when we do a cleanup are household things. Okay. Even diapers.
Yeah.
You know, even cigarette butts, cigarette boxes, styrofoam food containers, plastic forks and spoons. So I think you need to be more careful about what you throw because it's out of sight, out of mind from your house, but yeah. It does show up in the river.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing would be to complain. I mean, if you don't lodge a report, I think you know, we want to raise a civic conscious community. I think it's important to report this to the right people so that people are able to justify taking actions for the river.
Mm-hmm.
So these are actually three very, very simple steps. But if collectively 4 million of us in the city centre do it, you know, hopefully it will accumulate to some impact at some point.
And just going on that, you know, making complaints, you know, who could we potentially, you know, direct those complaints to?
Well, I like the app Rakyat Response, which is a mobile app. I have been using it a lot.
Oh, Rakyat Response. Okay.
I encourage you to download that app among the other apps that are all out there. Number two is, I think some of the DBKL hotline and the Department of Irrigation Drainage hotlines are there.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually many hotlines. Which the public probably is not privy to or not aware. But I would encourage everyone to have a Rakyat Response app because it's very current, it's easy to use. And then still some of the government aduan lines are still very slow and outdated. You have to upload so many things and for a senior citizen it can be challenging. So if it's on your phone, on the spot, you can snap a picture, upload it, I'm this and this. And your response rate is really, really good and really fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've had, you know, good experiences.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I was alerted to it just a couple of weeks ago and I've been just complaining all the way. Not complain, you know, Julia.
I know what you mean.
Like,
I know
as a
what
concerned
you mean.
Citizen, I just want to highlight these issues. And I also want to know some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the feedback will allow me to know who's addressing it.
Yeah, no,
well.
We need people like you. More of us should be
like number one complainer.
But you know, not for anything that's bad. It's for, you know, the betterment of not just for yourself, but for society at large, for the environment. So don't feel bad.
I always do that.
So, okay. So one of the other things that you guys do is you organize an annual event.
Yes.
And that is the Buloh Walk for River campaign.
Yeah. So every year for the last 3-4 years, we take the opportunity since it's Global World Rivers Day celebration. And we found out about this just a couple of years ago. We took the opportunity to organize a lot of public advocacy activities to look at how this group can put a bit of pressure, whether on agencies or ministries or even on the public. And it's also the time we sign on. Every year we sign new partners on board through an MOU with the City Council.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why our stakeholder list is also growing as we publicize this. And thank you, BFM, for helping us as well. When people hear about this, and especially the big companies, they like to be on board. And that's what we want because companies have thousands of employees, if not hundreds. And what we want to do is have an inclusive employee engagement program so that it's not just a company helping us. It's not just about giving us funds.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making more people take action and be more aware and be more self-conscious about their own impacts on the river. So this year we're excited. We're doing a fun walk. It's not a race.
Okay.
Along the Buloh Retention Pond, which is along Jalan Tun Razak. It's not a long distance. And what we've done is place 6 checkpoints along it for parents, for families, for students to stop by these checkpoints and learn something new about rivers, conduct an activity, and hopefully go home being more aware about their impacts on rivers.
Okay, and it's open to anyone?
It's open to anyone. You can register. If you like to be a paid participant, you can, because all the funds generated through registration is to help support scaling up and also the upkeeping of the urban farms that we have formed. We feel that if the stakeholder group is so strong, maybe we can be raising funds ourselves without being too reliant on the local council.
Mm-hmm.
We also feel bad. I mean, I know their expenses are high as well with upkeeping the city. But if you don't want to pay, it's fine as well. We're not forcing anyone to pay. It's 30 ringgit. But if you can still come, and enjoy the walk and participate in all the activities.
Yeah. Okay, all right. And is it open to like maybe younger children as well?
Yeah, I'm bringing my children, okay. And I'm bringing my nephews and nieces along. Okay. I really want them to see and experience the work that mom does.
Of course.
And I also want them to, I guess I want to inspire them so that later on they can say, they can start their river engagement young with me. Mm-hmm. And I hope when they grow old, they are some of the, you know, initial instigators of better river management in the country.
The
yeah,
ones
running. I get to see la when I go old.
Are you so dire? And just looking back, you know, at all you've done, you know, what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned? And, you know, what would you have done differently? Or what are you going to be doing differently based on that?
I've been saying this a lot. In all the work that I do promoting sustainable development, sustainable management of ecosystems, and 90% of the time, I think the intricacy of addressing sustainability is people management. You know, there's so many different levels of understanding or misunderstandings. I find myself actually always handling social and human issues more. Suffice to say, you know, technology advancements are all there for you. At the end of the day, you still need to ensure that men know how to use it right, fully for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, I spend a lot of time really doing a lot of lobbying, a lot of advocacy, a lot of public engagement, just so that I can break into the mindsets of these people and finding a common ground to work our indifferences and to inspire, empower them to work on a non-selfish and more public-oriented way of CSR or sustainability and so forth. So it's a lot of negotiation in terms of like your corporate needs, your corporate values, how to align it to the needs of the river and the values. So I think despite all the studies I've done and all the science I know, at the end of the day, I think the social skills, the human element of it is super important to make things work on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's an ongoing process as well.
It is. Okay. People change some more, so you can have to catch up with changes.
And, you know, younger people, different, you know, age groups and age sets, millennials, for example, coming into the to the mix.
That's a whole new show.
Okay. And I guess just to conclude, you know, for anyone listening and they'd like to get involved in this project, how can they best do that?
You can head on to the Econites Facebook page. We've had it really well publicized. If not, just Google up Bonus Fun Walk for River. Mm-hmm. I think it will be the first thing that shows up on your Google page. Okay. And click on it and either sign up or just show up on that day if you've got a couple of hours to spend on Saturday morning, just 2 hours maybe, have a morning walk with us and engage with the stakeholders and find out how you can play a better role.
Okay, all right. So the Bunos Walk for River campaign, which is happening on World Rivers Day, that is on Saturday, the 29th of September, from, I think it starts from 7 a.m., right?
Correct.
7 a.m. to 12 p.m. And as Yasmin mentioned, is at the Bunos River Retention Pond, which is near the National Library of Malaysia.
Yes, it's right next to Titi Wangsa as well.
All right. So fun day out, really. Okay. And if you would like to register, that you can register for 30 ringgit, and that comes with a goodie bag.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a corporate package.
Yes, there's a corporate package. So companies can sign up to get your employees to come. There are various corporate packages. So if you think this would be a good employee engagement where employees can bring your families, sign them up.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Yasmin.
Thank you, Juliet.
Thank you for
being so supportive of our project.
Always. I've been speaking to Yasmin Rashid. She's a chairperson of the Sungai Bunos Action Group. She's also the president of Econites. And we were discussing the rehabilitation of Sungai Bunos. So do head over for the fun walk, you know, that's happening on this Saturday. Fun day out for the whole family. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.